For a number of years, on Sunday nights, I did three quarters of the speaking. The other quarter was a variety of things in which we would have some of our preteen and teen boys speak. We would have singing periodically. Once or twice a year, we might have what we thought was a worthwhile video that touched on some topic that was of value to us. But 2 years ago, this past June, we decided we were going to try something innovative for us. We had some of our young adult men back from college, as well as those who were here. We decided to give every Sunday night that summer to our young men speaking. It went over extremely well. Our leadership team was hearing really positive feedback from the congregation. I spoke that fall, and we began to organize our young adult men to speak more frequently, year-round. And so in January of that following year, our young men began speaking almost exclusively on Sunday nights. So now, for quite some time, that has been the predominance of our Sunday night gatherings. We've tried to be innovative in these times. Occasionally, now we have a singing worship about every 6 weeks on Sunday night, and some of our not-so-young men speak, and that's a refreshing opportunity as well. But tonight, we're going to do something that's, again, a little bit different. We're in for now the better part of 2 years or more, we've had one young man speak in an evening. We've recognized that some of the young men, as you are well aware, only seem to have something that is for about 10 minutes instead of 20 or 25. So tonight, we're doing what in the baseball world they would call a doubleheader. Both Doug and Chris are going to speak tonight on one topic. Each are going to take different aspects of it. We hope that this will be not just something different, but valuable. And it's not necessarily an indication of anything to come. It's just tonight. And we hope that you will find it spiritually valuable. Doug?
A long, long time ago, in a land far away, God made Abraham a promise. To paraphrase that promise, he said, "If you keep my covenant, I will make nations of your offspring, I'll give you some land, and the world will be blessed by it." Then he made a promise to Isaac, Abraham's kid. To once again paraphrase, he said basically the same thing. "You'll have too many offspring to count, they'll live on the land I give them, and the world will be blessed by it." Today we're going to talk about a story that most of us learned as children, because it starts being about two brothers. These two brothers can't get along, just like my brother and I. And that is the story of Jacob and Esau. The story is a lot longer than I remember from childhood. It starts in Genesis chapter 25. And it goes on for about 11 chapters. You can turn there, or don't. You probably won't be able to keep up with what I'm about to do, because it's going to be a high-speed recap of the entire story so that you can be prepped for what Chris is going to say. So strap in, because it's going to get fast and it's going to be a little bit weird. We're going to start with Rebecca's pregnancy. She gets pregnant, and God says to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." Then she has twins, Jacob and Esau. Esau's the older one, but Jacob comes out literally grabbing on to Esau's ankle. The competition is on. Skip some time, they're both older. Esau comes home from hunting and he's super hungry. This is the part we learned as kids. Jacob goes, "Hey, I'll give you some of the soup I have for the low, low price of your birthright." Esau says, "Deal." Skip some more time and Papa Isaac is old and he thinks he's about to die. He wants to give his blessing from God to his heir, Esau, his favorite kid, because responsible, godly parents like Isaac have favorites, just like my parents like me better. Rebecca, their mom, and Isaac's wife liked Jacob better, so she disguised him as Esau and sent him in Esau's place to be blessed. Isaac couldn't see, which meant he clearly could not trust his ears. So when Jacob claimed to be Esau, Isaac totally believed it. Isaac gives Esau's blessing to Jacob, and it goes like this. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, and abundance of new grain and wine. May nations serve you, and may peoples bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and may those who bless you be blessed. Then Esau shows up from his hunt, and he says, okay, Dad, I brought you some food. I'm ready to be blessed. And and Isaac is so shocked by the revelation that Jacob's voice belonged to Jacob that he trembles. Esau cries a lot, and he begs for a blessing as well. So Isaac says things to him. The blessing for the blessing for Esau goes, your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by your sword, and you will serve your brother. But you will grow when you grow restless, you will throw off his yoke from your neck. Esau now had his birthright and his blessing stolen from him by his deceitful brother Jacob, and he was furious. So Jacob got scared and ran away. While running, Jacob had a dream. In the dream, God passed the promise he had made to both Abraham and Isaac on to Jacob. When Jacob woke up, he said to God, well, as long as you keep me safe and fed, I'm your man. He ran to his uncle Laban's house and asked to marry his daughter Rachel, Jacob's cousin. Laban says, if you work for me for 7 years, it's a deal. 7 years later, Jacob wakes up next to Leah, Rachel's sister. When he confronts Laban about it, he says, yeah, we don't marry off the younger one around here first. Tell you what, work for me another 7 years, and then you can have Rachel this time. Jacob agrees, and now he has two wives. Understandably, Jacob loves Rachel and not Leah. But Leah could have kids, and Rachel couldn't. So Leah gets pregnant, says, awesome, now Jacob will love me. And he didn't. So she gets pregnant again, and says, now he has to love me. And he didn't. And she got pregnant again, and said, maybe now he'll love me? And he didn't. And she got pregnant yet again, and said, at least God loves me. Between Leah, Rachel, and two more women that he married along the way, Jacob had 13 kids, one for every tribe of Israel, and a girl. All the kid having happened over the course of 6 more years of working for Laban. Suddenly, Jacob's rich with wives, cattle, children, and servants. After this total of 20 years, God tells Jacob, it's time to go home. Jacob tells Laban that he's going to leave, and Laban insists on paying him for this 6 more years' work that he's done. So they make an agreement, and Laban proceeds to give everything that would have gone to Jacob away to his own kids, deceiving Jacob one more time, just for good measure. Having been deceived, Jacob thought Laban was going to betray him yet again, so Jacob got scared, and he ran away. Laban chased him, and when he caught up, he said, dude, why did you run? I was going to throw you a totally awesome party. And then they had dinner there and talked and made a treaty, and Jacob moved on. And when he was closer to home, Jacob heard that Esau was coming to see him with 400 men in tow. So Jacob got scared and made sure that he'd be able to run away. That night, he wrestles with God and doesn't win, as far as I can tell. But he comes home. That night, he becomes Israel, whom a nation is named for. In the morning, with much hesitation, he meets Esau, and they cry and hug it out. We find out here at the end of the story, near the end of the story, that Esau did well for himself also, and he's the leader of an army of people. Well, an army worth of people, per se. Eventually, Esau moves away to get away from his brother Israel because he's serving him. They don't get along. They're brothers. And understandably, Esau's still really mad about that whole blessing thing. So he leaves, and he forms the nation of the Edomites. The Israelites and the Edomites don't get along. And that's the story of Jacob and Esau, 11 chapters out of the book of Genesis. And Chris is going to tell you what we actually learned from all that. probably want this, huh? There you go.
Okay. So, what can we glean from Doug's recapping of what happened? First and foremost, what this can teach us is that God's promises come true. They may not be how we imagine them, and they may not come to fruition in our own lifetime, but they come true in God's time. God promised Abraham, he promised Isaac, and he promised Rebecca, and he promised Jacob the same thing. He made a covenant with these people. He made a promise that through these people, his nation would flourish. He promised them land, even though they might not get the land until some time, but still in God's time, the promise came true. We might not understand God's promises, and we might not understand what he's asking us to do, but it's not our place to question it. It's only our place to serve God. Isaac served God, but he didn't quite get it. He loved Esau. He loved his firstborn. He wanted his birthright for Esau. He wanted the blessings for Esau. But Isaac didn't understand what God's plan was, what God's promise was. But Rebecca did, because as you remember from Doug's recap, God told her that the older would serve the lesser, that Jacob would be the one to lead, not Esau. And Esau, he didn't get it either. He took God's love for granted. He sold his birthright. He gave up this promise from God that God gave to Abraham for a bowl of soup. He let Esau deceive him. Why? Because he didn't care for it. He took it for granted. In some, it even says that Esau despised his birthright. You can think that maybe he preferred just being out in the land, but he really didn't understand what God was asking for him. But Rebecca understood. Rebecca loved Jacob. This is the reason why she helped Jacob to receive the blessing instead of Esau, because she understood what God was asking. She understood what God's plan was. She understood that Jacob was the one to carry the line, was the one who was going to create this nation with God. She understood that it was Jacob meant for this covenant, not Esau. And you can't really blame Esau, because in Isaac's eyes, because to him, Esau was the chosen one, was his son, was what he thought that God's plan was for. He thought that he was meant to be God's light in the world, not Jacob. So of course, Isaac looked at Jacob and hated him and wanted to kill him for stealing his birthright, for stealing his blessing. But he didn't understand God's plan, at least not yet. This is why Jacob had to flee. This is why Jacob had to go to his uncle, because Esau didn't get it. But this was God's plan. You can tell when Jacob goes to his uncle and God comes to him and tells him, "You're my man. I'm putting everything in you. You're the promise that I've given to Abraham, that you will be the one who will flourish, and through you, you will have offsprings like dust, and they will spread east and west and north and south." And you can see this coming true, because Jacob has so many sons. 12 sons, like Doug said, and those 12 sons become the tribes of Israel. They become God's people, not Esau's children, but Jacob's. But as you can tell from the story, I'd like to think that Esau eventually understood. I'd like to think that he eventually understood God's plan to a point. Because when Jacob comes back 20 years later, understanding that even though his brother took the blessing, and even understanding that his brother took his birthright, instead of killing his brother right there, he didn't even want to take the offerings that Jacob tried to give him. Instead, he embraced his brother and cried with his brother, I'd like to think that Jacob understood his part of God's plan. Because as you remember from God's plan to Abraham, he said, through your child, many nations will be born. From God talking to Rebekah, he told her that there were two nations from your children. It was always God's plan for Esau to go out, make the Edomites. That was what Esau's role was. Esau eventually learned that it was his role to serve Jacob, and when push came to shove, he left Canaan to form his own nation so that way Jacob can flourish. When we look at these two brothers, at first we see them, it ends, and we see them fighting, and we see them tricking each other, and we see them being upset at each other. Like I mentioned before, we have Esau, who takes God for granted. There's no mention in Genesis of him giving thanks to God. There's no mention of him praying to God. There's no mention of him loving God. But there is mention of him expecting much from God, even though he didn't treat his birthright with respect. He expected that he would get this blessing, that he would be the one blessed, that he would be the one for Abraham's promise. And then we have Jacob, who also takes God for granted. God comes to him with promises, and his response is, as long as you take care of me, as long as you feed me, I'll be your guy. He wanted God on his terms. So much so that God had to come down to earth in a physical form and wrestle him just to get him to move forward, to fulfill his plan. He was ready to run from his brother Esau. But God knew what Jacob needed to do. He needed that extra little shove, that little rustle, because this was all God's plan. And God kept Jacob safe. He helped him. He blessed him. Created this family. Created this flock. He was plentiful when he lived with his uncle. And even after all that God has done for Jacob, Jacob still is afraid. Still is fearful. Jacob wasn't perfect. But unlike Esau, he sought out God. He listened when God told him to go, where God told him to go. This is the main difference between Esau and Jacob. Jacob sought God and did what he wanted, but Esau didn't seek God. Esau did what God wanted. Yet regardless of what either one wanted, God's plan still was fulfilled. The promise that he made. The promise that he made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Rebekah, to Jacob, they all come true. What we can learn from this story, from understanding, is that God is in control. And that his promises come true, that you can bank on God's promises. You can rely on God's promises. God loves his children. He wanted to keep this covenant with Jacob. He wanted to keep this covenant with Isaac, with Abraham. He wanted us to flourish. We can ignore God. We can take him for granted. But in the long shot, it doesn't matter fighting God, because his will be done. Esau, we can be like Esau and we can try and fight it, and we can try and be upset, but it won't change matters. And we can be like Jacob and we can challenge, and we can try and put God on our terms, but it won't change anything. God is in control, and he's looking for those who are willing to serve him, who are willing to go out and be his servants. Don't let yourself get in the way of having a relationship with God. Don't let little things, don't let your expectations, don't let your worries get in the way. And don't be afraid and run away from God. He's looking for you. He's looking for this covenant with you. And I, Doug and I urge you guys, if you feel that you need to. There are plenty of people here that can talk to you. And that's it.